Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with some folks over at Maysville Community Technical College. Ginger Clark, the Associate Dean of Health Sciences and Nursing Program Coordinator, and Dr. Rhonda Sims, a Nursing Professor over at MCTC. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Maysville Community and Technical College recently formed a medical reserve corps to kind of fight against COVID. I mean, obviously, we all know that there's a nursing shortage. We all know that medical staff are overworked, underpaid, underappreciated, and it's not a great time. And that was before the pandemic, and now it's even exacerbated more. So tell me a little bit about how this medical reserve corps kind of came into existence.
You may take that one, Ginger.
Yeah.
Okay. Leanne, it actually kind of started back when the pandemic started in 2020. Many of our healthcare facilities, which are our community partners, were running short on staff. They were running short on supplies. And so our college, we jumped in and decided that we would assist in supplying various type of supplies, you know, from nursing supplies, respiratory supplies, nurse aid supplies, whatever they needed. So we cleaned out the cupboard, so to speak, literally, and took to our community partners, you know, in Mason County, Fleming County, Morehead, Round County, Montgomery County, wherever the need was. And at that time,
I'll interrupt and say all four campuses donated their supplies. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, the COVID vaccine was also beginning to surface within our service area. And our local health department, the director, Mr. Victor McKay, he contacted me because I'm on their board of directors at the local health department. And he asked me if there was any way that some of us could maybe volunteer to help give hours of our time to administer these vaccines. So, again, I kind of rounded the troops, especially there right at the Maysville campus, because that's where the need was. We went and took the training through the state Medical Reserve Corps, because there's a certain amount of training that you have to do. And this was also supported in an area of need that the governor, also Mr. Bashir, had noted that we needed within our counties. So we just kind of, everybody volunteered, pitched in. Our last year graduates pitched in. Our current students, some of them were freshmen and they were able to join. And so we became a large team of individuals who would go as high as 6 days a week, various times throughout the week, early morning hours, late evening hours. I've done, you know, vaccines at 7:30 at night, all day on Saturday in different locations throughout our service area to administer vaccines to school systems, to the elderly, to, you know, populations at risk at our own college as well. So that's where it kind of began. And then just recently, with the insurgence of the COVID patient population, St. Clair had become a large regional community partner that needed our assistance or needed assistance statewide. I know they had the National Guard at one time and then they had to leave. So we then again rallied the troops, Ginger Clark there and Dr. Ware at our campus kind of asked me to spearhead this campaign again. And so I started working with actually individuals within the college to join our team and those students that was already part of the Medical Reserve Corps last year. And I'm working with Tavian Harrington out of the Kentucky Department of Public Health. And also she is the state coordinator of Medical Reserve Corps for our state. And so I've been working with her and she's affiliated with the governor's office. So as we move forward with this, and again, we've had a call for help again from our local health department on COVID testing. The vaccine need kind of went down a little bit, but the testing need rose. So many of us volunteered again to go down to the clinic or offsite areas and help administer the COVID testing, you know, for the folks in the community, you know, children, middle-aged, the elderly, whoever had a need. And so that's been part of it. And then we've recently served twice at St. Clair, and we would go in and do the basic patient care, like, you know, from feeding patients, transferring patients, turning patients, bathing patients, whatever. When we walked on the floor, we went to two units. So many, myself and so many students went to one unit and another teacher and so many students went to another. And we're like, we're here to help. How can we help? So we work closely with Michelle Brown there at St. Clair Regional Medical Center to meet their needs. If they needed us to unload a truck, we would do that. Or if they needed us to empty garbage, we would do that as well, because they have been a great community partner to us. They are one of the premier healthcare facilities in our region. And it was just a small way for us to give back. And it was the right thing to do, because I could only imagine the situation the staff was in, the administration was in, as well as the patients themselves. And I sat and thought, what if that was my mom there? You know, how would I want, you know, care to be delivered to her? And so we hoped our efforts maybe met the difference, if nothing else, to at least one person.
Now, the pandemic kind of disrupted everything when it comes to, well, everything, full stop, but also when it comes to education, and especially working in the medical field, students, there were students in the beginning of 2020 who were supposed to graduate May 2020 that did virtual hours, you know, to complete, and then ended up passing their final exams and going straight into the workforce because the need was so high. Having this type of organization, this core, is it allowing for opportunities that may not be available otherwise for students?
Our campus at Maysville, we were blessed. We have great community partners such as St. Clair, Meadowview Regional Hospital, Fleming County, and many, many others. That's just two or three to name many that we work with. We were blessed in their administration, their top level folks. We met with them and said, can we still continue to do our clinical piece? You know, how can we help you all? And in return, it helps our students. And so we were very blessed. I know a lot of schools was not as blessed as we were. We were able to finish out all the clinical requirements for our graduates when that COVID hit. I mean, even when our school had to shut down, I would meet students in the parking lot on the weekend, and we would turn in clinical paperwork. We would get clinical updates. It was, daily we was in contact with hospital administration. Is things going okay? We had to set some parameters for student safety regarding the clinical area, but we were able, with their help and the college's, leadership, to fulfill all their educational needs. So we were very blessed in Maysville, and I'll let Ginger speak about the other campuses.
Well, truly the other campuses were blessed. Probably the only place we didn't get to participate is long-term care, because they had so many shutdowns, but our hospital facilities across all four campuses were wonderful with allowing us to come to clinical, where I talk with people at the system level and the curriculum committees who didn't get to go to any clinicals at all. We were, as Dr. Sim said, we were blessed and fortunate enough that our facilities let us come. The hospitals, we may have had to stagger the shift so that some went in the evening and some went during the day so that we had less students there at one time. But our faculty all pulled together, which was wonderful. And we made it work, because we truly believe, as a faculty and as a school, that you're not going to get the same level of care or training on a simulation. You are going to get some, there is training there, but there's nothing like hands-on experience. And so we really worked with the facilities to continue to allow that hands-on experience. And I think that made a huge difference with our graduates and with passing NCLEX and just making a well-rounded student.
Yeah, it made our students very, so to speak, work ready, because when you can put on a resume or a vitae that you have worked and performed clinical hours, and because we have a part of our program that requires 120 hour practicum where they work alongside a nurse like for 12 hours for over 7 weeks, that was really putting them to the test, the hospital to the test, and us to the test too, as we manage and oversee that. And so it made them more marketable when they graduated. Not a student one had trouble obtaining a job, because they could put that on there that they were in the forefront. They stepped up to the plate and were right there during the pandemic. And we personally, as an educator, I didn't want to go back to those simulation modules if I could avoid it. And as Ginger spoke about too, because there's nothing like the hands-on experience. And plus, they were going to be nurses. They were going to face this pandemic. And so if we could keep them safe during the pandemic and put them out there in the workforce and allow the hospital to see, you know, the caliber of educator or student that they would be or professional nurse, then why would we not jump at that chance? And the hospitals needed the help. So it was a win-win for everyone.
And I think truly our students and the hospital, you know, that community connection, when they're doing that practicum, that's a walking job interview. So, you know, most of our students all come out with a job offer from the place, the facility that they're actually working at, and they get to choose where they want to work if they have enough positions for that practicum, 120 hours. And a lot of them will choose the hospital that they really want to work with in the future. And so they're getting on the job training, basically, during that practicum. They're learning the facility and their policies and all of that too. So it's kind of a nice thing for our community partners that we work so closely with them, because I think they like getting our students. We have a great reputation at those facilities. They tell us all the time, and the students really do well.
And on that note, we need to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
On the next Putumayo World Music Hour, it's reggae en español. We'll hear reggae sung in Spanish from Chile, Canada, Argentina, and Spain. I'm Rosalie Howarth. Join me for Latin Reggae, the next Putumayo World Music Hour.
Fridays at 10 p.m., Sundays at 6 p.m. on Morehead State Public Radio.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Dr. Rhonda Sims and Ginger Clark, both with the nursing program over at Maysville Community and Technical College. Thank you both again for spending time with us today. There's been a lot of discussion statewide, nationwide, about shortages in the medical field. There aren't enough nurses to go around, specifically, has been something that's been talked about a lot. And I wonder, and you know, the state, at the state level, they're talking about like influx of CARES money, of the American Rescue Plan Act dollars, in order to retain nurses or train nurses. Are you all seeing through KCTCS, through MCTC, more students, less students? Like, what kind of trends are you seeing there?
Our numbers are down probably from 5 years ago. They're down. And I think with the pandemic, it made people a little nervous, but they're not that far off of what they were 5 years ago. And we are starting a new LPN to RN hybrid online program that starts in January, and our application numbers are up for that. So I think it slowed down because people were scared of, do I want to be a nurse and do that kind of work? And I think some people stepped out of the game, but other people stepped in who said, I want to help and I want to be that person on the front line. So, you know, I wish we had more students, obviously, but they still have to meet all the same qualifications and everything too. So in the fall, we have more applicants than we did the previous 2 years since I've been here. I will say that. They didn't all meet the qualifications, but we have more people apply.
Now, also something that's been discussed on the national level is the mental health of healthcare professionals. I know within that field, even though I'm not in it, I have loved ones who are, and I know that they are typically putting their own needs last as far as taking care of themselves. They take care of everyone else first, and then they take care of themselves if they have time. And I wonder, is any discussion happening at the educational level about that, about self-care when you're in the caring for others field?
Yeah, we actually, I'll just briefly speak, Ginger. We actually addressed that actually in our last semester when we're finishing up our didactic part of the program before we actually send them on to this 120-hour clinical. And we actually addressed that in regards to the emotional aspects of a nurse during any type of disaster, not only just the pandemic, but other types of man-made or natural disasters, and how all of us as healthcare workers can support each other and care for each other. And we actually teach the concepts and the aspects of a medical reserve team at that time, because we would like to see a lot of our new graduates, and many of them have, continue that role as a member of the Medical Reserve Corps for their county, because it's generally through your local health department that you volunteer this service. And as a nurse, you know, we can go in after a natural disaster. I know I've been a Medical Reserve Corps member for many, many years and have traveled through Kentucky to meet the needs of the state after, and it's generally a natural disaster, like a tornado, that sort of thing. But the pandemic has really brought it home to all of us how important the Medical Reserve team is, the National Guard is. And so it's good to bring that piece of, again, professional health and community service into our program, so that this is part of their curriculum and a part of something we want to have them continue on after they graduate.
And I will say, I start with every nursing program. I've started a class on how to survive nursing school and the art of test taking. And so part of the whole first part of that class that I give to every oncoming freshman group is, you know, how to survive, how to take care of yourself during nursing school and beyond, you know, eating properly, resting, getting enough sleep, looking after your family, how to take breaks and do stuff for your own mental and physical health. So we do try to do that with all the incoming freshmen and all the programs of nursing. I know when I was a clinical nurse educator at St. Clair, before I came into this role, we did a lot of training on suicide prevention and mental health things for nurses to kind of protect them, even about nurse bullying, preventing nurse bullying, you know, so that I taught lots of classes there to their staff about, you know, making sure that we're lifting up each other and not tearing down each other. So
it's fascinating to me how the medical field has really been tested. And I equated it recently to serving in a war zone. I think that working in the medical field right now during a global pandemic is the same as working in a field hospital if you were in a war zone. But it's very, like, narrowed because you're treating the one thing. Recently, I interviewed some people at St. Clair, and they were like, you know, a vast majority of the patients that they had in the hospital at the time had one thing going on. All, you know, a large percentage of that population were COVID patients. And that's not something that happens often when working in nursing, especially because you have a bunch of different issues that you're treating all the time. Are your students in their clinical rotations or doing these core hours, are they seeing a variety of things, or is it mostly just COVID related?
Well, I will address that and just say that I asked all the health sciences faculty, that we're not taking care of a known COVID patient simply because, you know, we're not a company that has insurance for our students. And so we didn't put them, we don't want to use all of the hospital supplies for all our students because they are in short demand. And so I have asked that we don't take care of known COVID patients. We help with the other things. So I know our faculty usually kind of try to line up as best that they can their patients with the topics that they're studying. So if they're studying cardiac, the patients they choose for their students to take care of are usually have something to do with cardiac issues or respiratory. We try to, so that it enhances their learning to do well on their exams and understand what they're learning in the classroom. It brings that classroom to life, so to speak. So usually that's how we kind of assign patients as we go. Sometimes it doesn't happen. There might not be any cardiac patients, but for the most part, you'll usually find that, or respiratory patients if you're studying respiratory, et cetera.
Yeah, it allows our students, it's still a domino effect, you know, because the COVID patients are there. And so the students do experience the stress and the anxiety and sometimes the burnout. They see that from the nurses that's, you know, in those rooms day after day. You know, to know that you work in a facility where death is really seen higher rates than we have. I know myself as a forensic nurse, I do cases for the hospitals and have been in the hospital and had to escort some families to a floor where they've been called in maybe because a loved one's dying, you know, from COVID. So we're not exempt from it. And it's very much on our mind at all times. And as Ginger said, we try to protect the student because it's, you know, it's a educational requirement, the clinical, it's not a volunteer here. I want to work here and I'm getting paid. So we want to make sure they're protected, but we still see it daily when we're on the floor, because some hospitals you'll be on a floor and maybe one half of the floor is COVID. One half is your regular, you know, patients that they historically see. So we're there to help shore up and give extra assistance to those that's non-COVID so that their hands-on staff can be more attentive and be one-on-one with the COVID patients.
Now, I have personally been studying a broad spectrum of internships and work study, work integrated learning opportunities in general. And I know that there's different rules in place for different people. Do normally in when a nursing student does a clinical or rotation, are they paid for those positions, or is that strictly through it's strictly
no,
through
paid. That's part of their educational requirement. There's a didactic requirement. That's the face-to-face lecture when we're teaching them all about all these different, you know, pathophysiology processes and diseases in the nursing process. And then the clinical is the part that then they do the hands-on part after we teach them how to do an IV, then we watch them do an IV. But no, there is no paid clinical experience through any of our campuses at MCTC. No.
Right. I was just curious about like how they were covered as far as insurance goes, like what you said before. You know, if there was, you know, students are not covered through the insurance to fight to care for COVID patients versus covering other types of patients. It's kind of two.
We have with every facility, we have a MOA. So, you know, a contract that says that we can work with them. And then KCTCS, part of their tuition, they pay for a liability insurance. So that part's covered liability wise, but health wise, if they got sick, you know, that would be on the student. So that's why we want to, you know, not take care of those COVID patients, because we wouldn't want to put that on the student for that part.
You know, it's not my right as an educator to say to Ginger or to you or another student, hey, I'm going to put you in the firing line right here, because they're not experienced enough, you know, with the PPE. I mean, they know PPE, and that's protective, personal protective equipment. But you, Ginger and I, who've been nurses a long time, you know, we know when we're safer, so to speak, because we have the knowledge level. They might not be quite at that skill set. So that's another reason. And I don't want them to think, hey, they forced me into that during the pandemic. I put myself at risk, my family at risk. That would be just like me volunteering to help. My conscience would not let me live with myself if I said, here, you've got to go. You're the first person out of the chute and have to be in the firing squad, so to speak.
Right.
So I think it's the safe way to get them through their education without making them feel pressure that they have to be in there. Because right now, you know, there's so much debate on vaccine, non-vaccine. So we definitely wouldn't want to put somebody right out front and say, here, you're going to care for them. And we know that this could be a deadly virus. I'll say it that way.
Right. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Ginger Clark, Associate Dean of Health Sciences and Nursing Program Coordinator at Maysville Community and Technical College, and Dr. Rhonda Sims, the nursing professor there at MCTC. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.